one verse of the passage that was just read, Luke 11, verse 23. Rather a challenging little statement. The words of Christ here, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." That's the ultimatum given to us all who hear his word. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Can we pray, please? Oh, Father, help me this morning to speak your word clearly and faithfully and effectively. May your Holy Spirit be in our midst to cause me and enable me to speak well and cause your people, those with ears to hear, to receive. For Christ's sake, we pray this, praying that even this morning there will be those outside the kingdom who may hear the call of the shepherd's voice. Amen. Today, our church remembers and honors the men and women who have died for this country in times of war. We dedicate this hour of our worship to acknowledging and thanking God for what he offered in doing this. Thanking God for people who paid the ultimate price for the democracy and the freedom that we take for granted in our country today. We remember today, and we thank God for the war dead. But why? Why do we do this? And why do we do it in a church? Aren't we Christians here people of peace? Why are we devoting a whole church service to the subject of war and violence? Isn't violence wrong? Didn't Jesus say that we must love our enemies and turn our other cheek to those that strike us? Didn't Jesus say, "Blessed are the peacemakers"? Why give honor to men and women who died in violent struggles of war, fighting enemies? Why do that? And why do it in a church? Didn't Jesus command us to love our enemies? Didn't he warn us that those who live by the sword will die by the sword? In short, are we right to honor the war dead in the house of God as Christians? Well, I'd like to say emphatically, yes, we are. What I'm going to share with you this morning may surprise some of you. You see, the Bible teaches us very clearly that fighting and warfare are very much a part of the essence of Christian faith. We are, as Christians, a people at war. We're known as the church militant. We're told by God that we are to fight a good fight, to put on the full armor of God and engage in spiritual battle. We're told as Christians that we are facing a deadly enemy. Three fronts we're fighting on as Christians: the flesh, the world, and the devil. And anybody here today who's a committed Christian will have to agree with me now. We are a church at war. We're engaged in a deadly struggle of life and death We are pitted, truth against deception, light against darkness, goodness against evil. We're engaged in a bitter war. And therefore, I can say Christianity is a fighting religion. We Christians are a militant people. And we believe in fighting for what is good. Now you may think to yourself, what? How can this be? How can a religion of love and forgiveness and peacemaking ever be considered a fighting religion? Christians aren't supposed to hate. They're supposed to love, aren't they? Christians aren't supposed to fight. They're supposed to forgive, aren't they? Aren't Christians peacemakers? What if I told you this morning yes and no? Yes, of course, we are to be at peace according to God's command with all people. We're not to hate our fellow men. As Christians, we're told to forgive our enemies and even love those that don't like us and do wrong to us. We're to forgive them 70 times 7. We're not to get bitter or resentful or hateful. No matter how people treat us, we're to continually forgive. Yes. We're to love our fellow human beings as we love ourselves and forgive ourselves so gladly, don't we? But having said that, we Christians are not namby-pambies. Listen, we don't hate anyone. If you're a Christian, you have no right to hate anyone. But let me tell you something. We do hate evil. And we hate evil with a passion. Because we love, we hate the things that stand against that which we love. Because we love the light, we hate the darkness, don't we? Because we love the truth, we hate lies and deception. And listen, Christian, because you love the light so much, you hate the darkness with a passion, don't you? You hate. How can you not hate if you love? Because we love children, we passionately hate those things that could hurt them and confuse them, don't we? Because we love our wives, husbands, children, and families, we hate adultery, immorality, promiscuity, stuff like that. And because we love so passionately and care so much, we are willing, as Christians, to stand up and fight for, and even die for, if necessary, the things we feel passionately about. If something we believe is worth living for, it's equally worth fighting for, and if necessarily, dying for. And throughout history, the Christian church has produced men and women who stood up and fought for what they believed in and died for what they believed in with conviction. So please, this morning, don't believe the nonsense that Christians are not fighting people. Because we are fighting people. We are the church militant, and we fight the good fight of faith. And it's in the light of this fact that maybe now you understand why in this church today we honor men and women who've given their lives fighting for that which is right and good and true. We believe with all our hearts in this church that there are some things that are worth fighting for. There are some things in this church we believe that are worth dying for. Now, don't get me wrong. War is terrible. War is never glorious. But we're living in a world of sin and brokenness. And sometimes wars must be fought. We have no choice in the matter if we believe that truth and goodness must be defended. Anybody who believes in truth and freedom and value must accept that fact. If we love God, we will hate the things that God hates. Do you get my argument? We are a militant people. And we are militant because of the passion we have for the truth. But now I come to my challenge. In the light of what I've said so far, let's look at the words of Jesus that I'm using this morning for the core of my message. This is verse 23. He says, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." Now, why is he saying that? In the context, Jesus has been speaking about a war situation. He's spoken of Beelzebub, the prince of demons, the devil. He's spoken of the struggle between himself and the devil, the heavenly battle. He's spoken of attacking, overpowering, conquering, dividing of spoils. Jesus here is talking about a war. And in context with that, he says this in verse 3. Right. Now, in this war, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you don't gather with me, you're scattering. In other words, he's saying this, people, there's a war raging in the heavenlies. Now, whose side are you on? Who are you fighting for in this battle? Are you on my side or are you my enemy? Are you gathering or are you scattering? Now, you may read that and you may be a bit of a hippie this morning. You may say, "Oh, I'm a man of peace. I'm a pacifist. I'm not fighting. I'm not involved." Do you realize that Jesus is telling us here, people, you're involved in a war to the death, whether you like it or not? That's what he's saying. There's a war on, and you're a part of it, and you must choose your side. You can't say here, "Hey, I don't want to get involved here." You've got no choice in the matter if you're not fighting on Christ's side. You're on the other side. You're fighting against him. We are all belligerents. We're all involved in a war. You can't escape that. You're in the battle. And Jesus is saying, make up your mind. In this war to the death, who are you fighting for? There's no sitting on the fence. There's no neutrality. You're either here a sheep or a goat. You're standing in the light or you're stepping into the darkness. There's a battle raging and you are to fight in this battle, Jesus says, whether you like it or not. The church here is called to be a church militant. We are to stand up in this dark, belligerent world and fight the fight of faith. There's no getting out of it, no excuses. You're either on his side or you're not, but you're in the battle. And it's in the spirit of this challenge that we as Christians believe it's a good thing to honor the war dead in this country for what they gave. We're a peace-loving people in this church, but we realize there's never going to be peace in this world until one day when the Father puts all of the enemies of Christ under Christ's footstool. There's going to be enmity and warfare, friction and belligerence until Christ comes again. And we are told very clearly, wake up, there's a war on, pick your side. If you're not with me, you're going to be against me, but you're in the battle whether you like it or not. Now, in the light of that, here's my challenge to you this morning. Are you ready for it? We're not just here to talk about the war dead, but the spirit of what cost their lives. What I'm going to say now, I say in honor of those who gave their lives for what we all believe in and treasure today. That's the spirit in which I'm going to say what I'm going to say. But what I'm going to say, I'm going to use as an opportunity because this has to be said. In our Western culture today, in the 21st century, we as a church are in grave danger of losing our fighting spirit to a large extent. The British church has lost its will and its guts to fight. Throughout history, Christians who love the truth and hate the darkness and love justice and hate injustice have risen up militantly and battled against the darkness of this world again and again throughout history. Let me give you a few examples of what fighters we Christians are. Do you know we conquered the Roman Empire? This is ironic. The greatest empire of the ancient world. Do you know in the year 300 AD, the emperor bowed the knee and called Jesus Lord. The Christian church, these meek people, conquered the Roman Empire. We were fighters. We spoke about the Reformation last week. 500 years ago, the church of God raised up against a corrupt church, a false, corrupt church. We fought the good fight, and we liberated people. We were successful. 200 years ago, the Christian church rose up under the leadership of Wilberforce, and we destroyed slavery in the British Empire. Look in your history books. It's the Christian church that did that. 150 years ago, it was Bible-believing Christians that forced the government to abolish child labor under Shaftesbury. We did it. Christians did it. 100 years ago, it was the Christian church that established rights for the workers in our country. Do you know that the trade union started in churches? We fought for people's rights. 50 years ago, it was Christians who fought for civil rights in America and fought against apartheid. It was Christians who stood up for these things. I could go on, but I think you get my point. Christians have always been a fighting people. people who fought on God's side and who hated what God hated. And history will prove that if you just do some research. The church has always been at war with darkness, injustice, lies, and oppression. But now, I feel sorry for you, younger generation. You can't remember this. But in the past 30 years or so, a massive paradigm shift has taken place in our society. We have become, in the West of the world, what's known as postmodernistic, multiculturalistic. And the key challenge of our modern day and age is what's known as political correctness. Now, political correctness can be a good thing. We don't want to go and hurt everybody's feelings. But in this world of postmodern multiculturalism, there is a pressure put upon people of guilt, where we're not allowed to criticize anything people say or do or think. Everybody's right in their own way because there's no such thing as truth per se. Everyone's got their own choice to make up their own mind. And the only bad thing in our modern world is bigotry, prejudice, narrow-mindedness. And therefore, the church is under tremendous pressure, and it has been for the past 30 years or so, to shut up with its commitments and toe the line. Listen, if you want to be a girl and you're a boy, that's your business. Who are we to judge? If you want to abort your unborn child, well, who are we to criticize? It's your life. If you want to marry someone of your own gender, well, that's your own business. This is tragedy. Even in churches, if you don't believe in the risen Lord Jesus, but you call yourself a Christian, who can criticize you? The church has been battered down to a point where it's lost its fighting spirit. We're afraid of standing up in our postmodern age and calling a spade a spade. We don't want to step on people's toes. And the modern church is afraid of speaking out in case of offending people. We're like a lion nowadays who's had its claws and its teeth pulled out, and we're very cuddly and nice. And if you want to have our, you know, social gatherings in the church, you can come along and do that, but we're not going to offend you. We're not going to say anything that might tread on your sensitive toes. Now you may say, but why should we fight? Why should we want to offend anyone? Why should Christians be fighters? We love God. Isn't loving God enough? We're told by Jesus here to stand up and fight for him. Now don't tell me you love God if you're happy to live in a world that's wallowing in the things that God hates. How can you be happy, God lover, in a world where the things that hurt and offend and anger God are right in front of your nose? If you love God, you'll hate the things that God hates. You may say, but I want to be neutral in this. I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to be a fighting church. There's a sad story I think I've told you before. A true story. This happened in Cape Town. It was about 20-something years ago. A gang broke into an elderly woman's house and murdered her in her bed. It was two young men and a young girl. They broke into the house, killed this poor woman. They got caught and put on trial, and the two boys got long sentences for their crime. And the girl was given 2 years. And there was a bit of an outcry because the girl hadn't committed the murder. She'd been in another room when the poor woman was being murdered in another room. But she was given 2 years as an accessory to the murder. And her cry was, her defense was, but I didn't do it. I didn't kill the woman. I wasn't involved. I've got no blood on my hands. She was sentenced simply for one reason. She could have done something, but did nothing. She could have screamed, she could have gone for help, she could have tried to stop them, but she did nothing. And it's a despicable crime sometimes to not fight when you know you should be fighting. The Christian church is losing its will to fight for things that challenge us on life and death issues. We are not the fighters we used to be because we're so afraid of offending people. As we thank God for those who gave their lives in conflicts in the wars, let's remember the spirit that we're celebrating there. It's not the death of these people. It's not what killed them. It's the godly spirit of standing up for the truth, justice, righteousness, and paying the price if need be for standing up. In the light of that, are we prepared to do that today? When this war with Satan is over, and one of these days it's going to be finished, and you'll be standing before God, your judge, will you be able to look your Christ in the eye and say to him, Lord, I fought the good fight. I fought, and I was fighting on your side. Let's pray. Please help us, Father, on this special day of remembrance, to remember the battle that rages, the war that's the root of every war that's been fought since the beginning of time, the war against evil. May we be, Lord, in this church, a militant church, loving all men but hating all evil. And Lord, if need be, standing up and fighting and dying for this battle. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with a hymn, yeah. Father, we want to praise you and thank you that right will win, truth will prevail, justice will be done. Father, please, in these days of compromise, may we, this little church here, not buckle, not compromise. Father, may we lovingly stand on the truth no matter what the cost is. May we not be ashamed of you or the things that are now hated so openly. Father, please, may we, as we remember those who've given their lives in wars, may we, Lord, learn from that example and lay down our lives for the glory of fighting for Christ. Amen.